May seem like a random question, but what makes Iceland unique? Is it that it was first settled in 874 AD? That may not sound like much until you realize the first settlement in what is now the U.S., St. Augustine? That didn't happen until 1565. Or is Iceland unique because it is home to roughly 130 volcanoes, most of which are very active? Hence the name Land of Fire and Ice. Or maybe you're a Settler of Catan fan, and you know that Iceland was the inspiration for the board game. That's pretty unique. Apparently, if you can make it in Iceland, you can make it in Catan. Or maybe you think that the people there are rather unique. Did you know that 1 out of every 10 Icelanders will publish a book in their lifetime? Apparently, in the winter, everyone just stays indoors and writes. And did you know that 60% of the entire country's population live in Reykjavik? 60% of the whole country in one city. Imagine if 60% of people in the U.S. lived in D.C. Or maybe what makes it unique is its relationship to Greenland. See, on the map, Iceland is southeast of Greenland. But in reality, Greenland is further north, further south, further west, and further east than Iceland. That's very unique. My son and his wife have been in Iceland on vacation this whole week. And all I can say is what better make Iceland unique is that it allows you to smuggle one puffin out of the country if it is going to a good home. And we have a great home. And there you have it. We can be retired puffin people. What makes River's Edge unique? For me, that's a very easy question to answer. It's the people. It's the community. We are an average-sized church with average ministries, an average budget, and slightly above average giving to missions. None of that makes us unique. No, the only thing that makes us unique is you. I mentioned last week that the session gathered together in 2017 to articulate anew our vision for the church. We had this long conversation, huge time of prayer. And two things rose to the forefront from those discussions. We said we wanted to be a church that emphasized compassion and community. Look around. It's happened. Somewhere between 2017 and now, you said you wanted a church that truly embodied the one another passages of the New Testament. We've been reading some of those one another passages in our This We Believe for this series. We've said, this is what we want as a church. This is what we want to be true of us. We are the church of Jesus Christ, his hands and feet in our world. And Jesus calls us to love one another, be devoted to one another, to honor one another, and to serve one another. As members of one body, we will accept one another, forgive one another, listen to one another, and encourage one another. And we will bear with one another, be patient with one another, admonish one another, and spur one another on to love and good deeds. As members of one body, we will care for one another, bear one another's burdens, be kind and compassionate to one another, and pray for one another. This is our calling. We are to be a church that loves one another and serves one another and encourages one another. Paul says it like this in Romans 13. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You cannot covet. And whatever other commands there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This is our calling. This is what the church is supposed to look like. This is how people on the outside ought to describe the church. They love people in that place. What's amazing is that's happening right here in our community. There's a great scene in that old HBO series, The Newsroom, where Charlie, the old weather news director, is talking to Will, his news anchor. Charlie has a vision for a different kind of news program, and it has recruited Will to lead that effort. But Will is not so sure he wants to be involved. And then they do, almost accidentally, this show together, and it is magical. Afterwards, Charlie goes to Will to explain his vision. He says, for a long time now, I badly wanted to watch the news on my TV at night. Then it occurred to me, I run a news division. I want Merle again. Merle had an opinion, and that was the end of McCarthy. Cronkite had an opinion, and that was the end of Vietnam. What we just did was great news. And do you know how we did it? We just decided to. Somewhere along the line of the last 10 years, you just decided to be a community. It wasn't the session's doing. It certainly wasn't my doing. No, you, by God's grace, decided to be a church that loved one another. You decided to be a community. And I could not be more proud of you. In fact, this has become the church I've been dreaming about all my life. Because this is a church that truly cares for one another and for people outside of our doors. And I know that's true because after COVID, when we went from being almost 20% Chinese to being less than 7%, many of you grieved because you missed our Chinese brothers and sisters. That's remarkable for a church. For me, there is no question. What makes River's Edge unique is you. It's our community. But again, we just can't focus on what we have accomplished in the past and pat ourselves on the back and think good about ourselves. No, we need to press on to take hold of all of that Christ Jesus took hold of us. And what would it look like when it comes to our community? What kind of community do we want to be? Well, I think we want to be an encouraging community. I think we want to be a community where people feel empowered to step out in faith. I think we want to be a community where people can dream big dreams for the kingdom of God. And I think we want to be a community that serves others. Now that sounds overwhelming, but it's not. Because you have examples of all of these things right here, right now. So let's unpack these things and let me brag about a few of these people who are our examples. What do we want? We want to be an encouraging community. Let me tell you a story. After our full-time youth leader left, the session met to decide who was going to replace him. There were four of us at the table. Dave couldn't do it. He's a pediatrician, and the Edge kids were just too old for him. John couldn't do it. He had two guys already in the Edge. Josh couldn't do it. He had two daughters coming into the edge. That left me. And so at age 61, I became your youth leader. Something was terribly wrong with that picture. I had seen old youth leaders before. Not that old, but old. And they were all a little creepy. Something was terribly wrong. Thankfully, Josh had a solution. He had a friend named Gary who used to be his youth leader. And he thought he might be willing to join us. Now, I was looking for a wild and crazy young guy to help us. And Gary wasn't quite that. And so, to be honest, in those early weeks, I wasn't so sure that Gary was the right guy for us. But that opinion went out the window fast, and I quickly began to realize that we had something really special with Gary in our midst. In fact, I learned that Gary is one of the best youth leaders anywhere. And he is the best because he is always speaking into the lives of our kids with words that encourage them and build them up. And that's a rare gift. But Gary connects and he listens and then he speaks words that matter. One example, I was thinking about this all week and it kind of came back in great memories on Friday night when the Edge threw me a surprise retirement party. Years and years and years ago, Gary wanted to do this cool seat thing. You get everybody in a circle and one guy sits in the cool seat. And then everyone has the opportunity to encourage him. We just go around the circle and everybody speaks into this one person's life. Now that's great in theory. What a wonderful idea. And I looked at our kids and said, this will never work. Holy cow, this is a bad idea. And to make things even more difficult, we had a first-time visitor come that night. A camp came that night. What are we going to say to someone we've never met before to encourage him? Well, you don't look too goofy. I was so sure the whole night was going to be extremely painful. A lot of quiet moments, a lot of just inane comments. But instead, it was amazing. All I can say is Gary created the means for God to show up. And that's exactly what happened. Our kids rose to the occasion. They were thoughtful. They were caring. They were insightful. And they were engaged. In that night, we saw not our kids as high school kids, but grown adults. It was magical. I got choked up that night. I got choked up when we did it again. I got choked up on Friday night, and I'm going to get choked up now because it was such a powerful, powerful night. And from that moment on, the Edge was different. We cared for one another. We supported one another. We championed one another. We came to the Edge that night as individuals, but by the end of the evening, we were a community. Even our guest left that light, feeling encouraged and built up. I love being part of the Edge. Absolutely love it. What an honor and a privilege. And we had many, many, many great nights over the years. But that was my favorite, because Gary set the stage for our guys to speak into each other's lives in ways that were encouraging and that built them up. And they knew how to do that because they had seen Gary do it every Friday night for months. What a privilege it has been to work with Gary all these years. And then to have Barb come and join the team and have her speak into the lives of our middle school girls. I'm going to say it. The Edge is magical. And it is magical because it is incredible community. So now I want to challenge you to speak into the lives of the people God puts in your path. I want you to use your words to encourage people, to build them up, to spur them on to love and good deeds. Why? Because more than anything else, we want to be an encouraging community. And if you need help on that, watch how Gary does it. He's a great example. We also want to be a community where people feel empowered to step out in faith. Another story. Not quite sure when. Might have been senior year. It may have been immediately upon graduation. But immediately, for sure, after she graduated from UMBC, Kelly started coming to River's Edge. And she was exactly what we needed. She not only joined the music team, but she was willing to do whatever needed to be done. She was an incredible volunteer who was willing to do anything to help. One evening, Kelly wanted to talk about life and what she should do with it. And so Joe and Kelly and I went out to dinner at Ship's Cafe. Now, I knew exactly what Kelly should do with her life. See, I loved Kelly and had a wonderful plan for her life. She should sing every other Sunday, do volunteer things on those other Sundays, and become a vital member of a church group. This was a no-brainer meeting. Had it all worked out. And we weren't even halfway through our crab cakes when Joe, out of the blue, out of nowhere, out of disobedience, asked Kelly if she would ever think about going to China and being one of our teachers. In that moment, Joe removed all the noise so that Kelly could hear God's voice. And before I even had an opportunity to object, Kelly not only felt empowered to step out in faith, but she was already doing the stepping. She just needed to hear God's voice without any judgment, criticism, fear, and without any negativity that she wasn't good enough or that what would people think if she did this or what if she failed? She removed all that noise. And as soon as Kelly heard God's call, she knew what she wanted to do with her life. Now, she may not have known everything she wanted to do, but she knew the next step. And just like that, Kelly the reserved became Kelly the valiant. Now, that was not an easy decision. It was huge. Teaching in China was way out of her comfort zone. But Kelly had heard God's call. And for her, it was now an easy choice. She was going to go to China. Meanwhile, I was choking on a French fry because this was not my plan. We needed people like Kelly here in church every week. But Joe had seen something spectacular in Kelly. And Joe was absolutely right. I saw what was spectacular in Kelly and things that she could do for us. Joe saw the true Kelly, the spectacular person that already was and just needed to be let loose so she could blossom. And that's what we saw when she went to China. You should have seen her. She was amazing. She may not have been one of our most experienced teachers ever, but wow, did she love her students. And wow, she was just the most incredible spiritual piece of that team that year. She was the backbone, spiritually, for our whole campus there. What a remarkable woman who has just kept growing and growing and growing and serving and serving and serving. And now she serves us as an elder in our church. Pure, pure poetry. So let me challenge you in two directions. First, find someone around you and empower them to step out in their faith. You never know who is just waiting for a little encouragement. And second, look at where you can take that next step of faith. Now, it doesn't have to be as big as going overseas or as long as spending a whole year. But whatever it is, I pray that it will be life-changing. So ask yourself, what is the next big step of faith that God wants me to take? What can I do to advance God's kingdom? It may be a little way, could be a big way. But whatever it is, whatever you hear God say, we want you to take it, to remove all the noise, and step out in faith. Why? Because more than anything else, we want to be a community where people feel empowered to step out in faith. And if you need any help in that, talk to Kelly, because Kelly's a great example of what it means to walk by faith. But we also want to be a community where people can dream big dreams for the kingdom of God. I'm not sure anyone will remember this, but years ago, UMBC hosted delegates from Shanghai and offered them a specialized course of study. And we, as a church, were invited to be their conversational partners and to introduce them to American culture and activities. And just like that, we became their recreational directors. And so every weekend, we did things with these 8 delegates. And it was spectacular. Just spectacular. There was one guy, big guy, strong guy, obviously was a secret police guy on this team. I mean, he was a little scary looking. Turns out he sold paper at the number one retail store in Shanghai. Wasn't a cop at all. He was just a big guy. He was a lovely guy. We had this unbelievable opportunity to befriend these 8 guys. So instead of us going to China, China was now coming to us. And these 8 guys came to all sorts of church functions. They came to church. They came to Bible studies. And we shared all sorts of things. We shared our lives with them. It was absolutely an incredible time. And then after about 15 weeks, I think, they went home. And 8 new delegates came, and we started all over again. And UMBC's goal was to do this program forever. It didn't work out that way. But as it was ongoing, the session began to talk about how we could grow our outreach to our Shanghai friends. And someone said, let's buy a house and have these delegates and other international students live there. And maybe Chris and Debbie could live there too and be house parents. It could be our own mission outreach center a block away from UMBC. We even went and looked. We got a realtor and looked at houses. And while it never materialized, it was a great dream. I want to challenge you to help people dream big dreams, just like the session did for us back then. I love this quote from Norman Vincent Peale. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. That's what happened. We thought about houses. It didn't work out. But wow, we landed among the stars. And having those delegates here was an incredible, rich time of ministry. And then the funding fell through and UMBC didn't have the program. And we grieved over that. Let us never be afraid to dream big if God is calling us to do something. Why should we help people dream big? Because more than anything else, we want to be a community where people can feel free to dream big dreams for the kingdom of God. Those were powerful days, rich days, May we all encourage one another. May the session always be a place that dreams big dreams for us. One last thought. We also want to be a community that serves others. Paul says it this way in Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. That's the key to community. Looking not to your own stuff as of first importance, but rather looking to the needs of others. Most of you know how hard it was during COVID. Honestly, we came pretty close to not making it as a church. But we made it because two people went way out of their way to serve us all. And I'm not overstating this in the least. Megan and John absolutely carried the church through this extremely difficult time. I certainly didn't know how to edit our service, taking music from the Martinson's music studio and singers from all over the place, and then the recorded part from our house and put it all together so it looked professional. But week after week, that's what John and Megan did. And then they ran the chat room after the service, which was a particular blessing to me. Every week they gave and gave and gave. But you would never know it, because they gave out of love and they served out of humility. And here's the thing. They're still giving today. They come early, they stay late, they set up, they take down, they do everything. And they're always smiling as they go. And they are always looking for what needs to be done next, because they love to serve. I am so thankful for Megan and John. And I know I'll never be able to repay that debt of gratitude that I owe them. Can't thank you enough. And here's what I really love. They do all of this as a couple. What an incredible team. A few years ago, John signed up to walk 100K in 14 hours? 14 hours. As he neared the finish line, John was exhausted. I wasn't there. I saw the video. And we could see Megan walking that last leg with John, just to be an encouragement. It was so cool.
I was reading your email to him. Because your words were so great.
And when Megan was nearing the finish line to be an elder, John was right there, encouraging her as she finished her race. What an incredible team. What an amazing team. I want to challenge you to go out of your way to serve the needs that you see in front of you. Because more than anything else, we want to be a community that serves the needs of others. If you need help in figuring out how to do that, talk to John and Megan, because they are unbelievable servants with hearts of gold. A rabbi asked his disciples, how can we determine the hour of dawn? When the night ends and the day begins? One of his disciples said, when from a distance you can distinguish a dog from a sheep. No, the rabbi said. Another student said, it is when you can distinguish between a fig tree and a grapevine. Again, the rabbi said, no. A few more students made suggestions, but the rabbi just shook his head. Finally, when he had the full attention of his disciples, the rabbi said, it is when you can look into the face of another human being and you have enough light in you to recognize your brother or your sister. Until then, it is night and darkness is still with us. Community enables us to see that we are one in the bond of love. And it is that love that makes this church extraordinarily great. Now your task is to take this light and make it even brighter. Encourage one another. Hear God's voice and respond. Dream big dreams for the kingdom of God and serve one another in love. You have made this church extraordinary. You chose to do it. Now choose to make it even greater. Make these words the rule of your community. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Vincent van Gogh once wrote, "It is good to love many things, for therein lies the true strength. And whosoever loves much, performs much, and can accomplish much. And what is done in love is well done." Why should we do that? Because when we do, we find pure poetry, pure wow. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace that you have poured out upon us in abundance. We thank you that we have the picture of baptism today, of water being poured out, blessings being poured out. What a great picture of your blessings being poured out on us. For encouraging conversation. For empowering conversations, for a willingness to dream big dreams and to do things that are out of our comfort zone, and a willingness to put aside your own interests and serve the interests of others. A remarkable community. We have been blessed by this community. We are just so thankful. In a nutshell, I look out and say, look what God did. Bringing in all these people at just the right time. Some were here at the very, very beginning, even before we began. What a privilege to walk with those good, good friends. Some have come at different points in the journey. What a privilege to have these newer friends. And then to have a baptism today where I get to call Hudson a new friend. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. We thank you, God, for showing up and giving us this community. May it glorify your name and be a blessing to each other and to people all over the place. Grow your church here so that the community can touch the lives of other people so that we can all gather together and praise your glorious name. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, who made it all possible. Amen.